We're doing podcast stuff!
I'm Twisted Cat.
I'm Batman.
I'm Patch.
I'm Snarkin.
Wow! We just saw Beat, which is Adrian Belew, Tony Levin, Steve Vai, and Danny Carey. I have been waiting to see Adrian Belew since I was 17 years old, and I had tickets for the show, and I couldn't go because I had to join Club Grippy Socks instead. The first song they played was Welcome to Neurotica, which is my favorite King Crimson song. And I was trying really hard not to soak my mask because I was crying. Dude. Just, wow. They were so good. So good. All right, so I made a very bold statement to Patch a while back that Tony Levin is hands down the best bass player in the world. And he said, that's a bold statement. Patch?
It is, in fact, a bold statement.
And?
Tony Levin is hands down an amazing musician.
He's not giving it up, goddammit.
I don't think he's the best bass player I've ever seen.
Okay.
I think that still goes to Victor Wooten.
All right.
This was an amazing treat. This was four musicians at the absolute top of their game.
This is four virtuoso musicians
at the
top of their game.
Yeah. So the for the first three quarters of the concert, I felt wholly unqualified to talk this evening. I had many, many, many questions.
Okay.
Most of them were answered in about two sentences.
Nice.
From Adrian.
Yeah.
He explained all of the music that they were playing and the four members of King Crimson. The two who were not there, I am wildly familiar with one of them, but didn't realize they were in King... Okay, so...
So Robert Fripp, I'm assuming.
Yes. So I don't know how the fuck I've missed King's Crimson my entire life.
They're totally underrated. They sneak under so many radars, it's absolutely easy to overlook
But
them.
Like, so many bands would not exist without King Crimson.
And that's the point. That's
and it. I heard all of it.
Yeah.
Like, David Byrne wouldn't have
no.
anything.
God, no.
No.
Yep.
Fucking Jane's Addiction wouldn't exist.
Yeah. But and so, like, there were bits where Vi was noodling and doing amazing shit, and I'm like, man, this sounds like fucking Frippin' Eno. Turns out,
as it happens.
Yeah. So like, the only thing that I can figure out is that I have been utterly confused about this band's name for most of my life.
That's possible.
Because there was King Missile and King Crimson, and there was another Crimson band, very heavy metal in the Sepultura category.
Yeah.
And I think I got them confused, which is why I never listened to King Crimson. But in the 90s, as I was really, really, really starting to get into music, I went, obviously, grunge and alternative, which led me into industrial, and industrial led me directly into electronica.
Sure.
And so I am super familiar with Fripp and Eno and Fripp's electronic work.
Right.
And Art of Noise and... God, I'm totally blanking. William Orbit and several other acts, all of which slot perfectly in with King Crimson. And I just fucking missed them.
And now you can go back and discover them all brand new to you.
Yeah,
You've got a week's long rabbit hole in front of you.
I mean, I'm kind of angry, honestly. Because I'm closer to 50 than anything else, and fuck, I've wasted a lot of time.
So, when I was 14, the guy I was seeing decided that I had a shit taste in music because I just listened to what everybody else listened to, and he gave me a tape, as one does at that age.
A cassette, right. Yes.
Yes.
He made a mixtape.
He made a mixtape. And two of the songs on it were Adrian Belew's solo work. And I lost my mind. And I went and I found everything that he had done. I went and found King Crimson and I was like, oh yes. And I used to blast Welcome to Neurotica at like 7 a.m. in the dorm to everyone's
chagrin.
Yeah.
You were doing music appreciation.
I agree.
Independent study. You were teaching your own class on music appreciation.
Guerrilla music appreciation.
They just didn't fucking appreciate
it. I was a big fan of guerrilla music appreciation as a teenager.
Most are.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a thing.
But, I was like, his guitar talks. It talks. He does things with a guitar that a guitar is not supposed to do.
No. Well, yes. And also Robert Fripp.
Sure.
And like, both of them learned at the altar of Dave Gilmour.
Sure.
So there were guitars being played tonight that I'm pretty sure one of them was a U.S. Robotics modem, and I'm pretty sure the other one was a Dolphin at some point.
So you may be confusing the guitar with the theremin that Adrian was also playing.
Well, yes, but he was playing it with his goddamn guitar at some point.
And it didn't sound like a theremin.
Yeah, no.
No, the
it sounded good.
The sequencers and synthesizers, like, I'm used to most of those noises happening from people playing keyboards.
Right. Yep.
Not guitars.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm also used to the bass being played with two hands.
Yeah, what the fuck is that thing that
he's playing? That is a bass stick. He invented that.
It looked like a fucked up sitar.
I was going to say, it's like a custom 18 and a half string bass sitar.
Yeah.
Just missed the bulbous bottom.
And he sits in the corner and noodles on that thing.
Oh,
and
I love him so much.
And he's playing keyboards with one hand and just ripping the bass with the other hand. And I'm like, that should take two hands.
That should take two people.
Right?
Two people should be doing that.
And when he plays the standard bass guitar,
oh God,
he wears rubber fingers.
With the shrimps on his fingers?
Yes.
Yeah. Not always, but...
But for a couple songs.
When he needs that extra percussive bump on that
bass. Yeah, when he's doing his triplets.
Yeah.
Which is why I say Victor Wooten's a better bassist.
Fair.
But, I mean, does Victor Wooten play with shrimp on his fingers?
He doesn't need to.
I think the shrimp is actually an enhancement somehow. I don't know. It makes me happy.
I see it that it's giving him that extra percussion bass. Yeah.
But I'm going to assert...
Victor does that without rubber fingers.
Fair. I'm going to assert, though, that Les Claypool would not exist if it were not for Tony Levin.
Oh, 100% no.
Yeah.
No. Primus Primus listened to one King Crimson song and rewrote that song 18 times.
Yes. Kind of.
Yes.
So, Tony Levin... Here's my Tony Levin story. I promised you a Tony Levin story. So, my boyfriend in high school, after the dude who tried to fix my taste in music, comes from a musical family. And every time that Wipeout, the 1950s surf rock song, would come on the radio, he would start cursing. Because apparently his father wrote Wipeout, and it was stolen by the record company and given to, I don't know, what, the Animals or whoever the fuck played it?
Yeah.
Yes, the Animals. And if you listen to the laugh at the beginning of Wipeout, that is Bill's laugh. Anyway, Tony Levin was in that band with my boyfriend's dad. And so I have always known about Tony Levin, but when I started hearing Tony Levin, I was like, why does your dad not still play with him? Because, dude, right? And I think that's what Tony Levin was doing before King Crimson. Was writing surf music. But yeah. Oh, so good. I'm going to ride this high for like a week.
Yeah. So my introduction to King Crimson was also on cassette, like Twisted Cat. I was in high school and I was already listening to Pink Floyd and Rush, and my physics teacher and I used to sit and like during off periods or whatever and bullshit about music. He gave me like some books about Pink Floyd and crap like that, and like some other obscure stuff. He would put them from his records onto cassette for me. And then one day he comes and he's like, here, you should listen to this stuff. And it's King Crimson. I was like, never heard of these people. And this is the 90s, so it's not like there's the internet and I can go fucking look it up.
Right.
I'm like, okay, sure. So, but like the last time I listened to King Crimson was when it was on one of these cassette tapes back in the 90s, and I haven't really listened to them since. Mm. And I regret that. I miss them. Like, I forgot how much I miss them. So now I'm going to have to go and find them and like download a whole bunch of their music.
Yeah. You need a tape deck?
No, I have a tape deck. I have to find the cassettes. I have no idea what box they are in somewhere in my house. So I'm just going to ask the internet and just buy it from someone digitally.
That's sure. easier.
But. Sure. I have never seen Steve Vai perform.
Yeah, right. No. Neither have I.
Holy mackinoli, I will be in my bunk for the next week. I need a moment and a mop because that was probably some of the sexiest guitar magic I have seen on stage in an incredibly long time. And, dude, that was... That alone was worth the price of admission and all of the ridiculously old kind of grumpy old men who were sitting around us. It was worth putting up with them.
Such a spectrum audience.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you ever meet Chris Opperman, Nadja? Friend of Cosette's.
Maybe. The name sounds vaguely familiar.
So, Chris Opperman used to live out here. He goes by Oppie. And he arranged a symphony that Steve Vai wrote.
Ooh.
I suggest you go find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like worth a search.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And if you can't find it, let me know. I'll just bug up before it. But yeah.
So, like, coming into tonight, I was only familiar with half of the band we were going to see, body of work.
Right.
Right. Obviously, the drummer from Tool.
Right, Danny Carey.
Thank you. And Steve Vai.
Right.
And I knew I was going to be in for some fantastic music because those two wouldn't be playing with idiots.
It's a whole new musical world for you.
Yeah.
See, and so Twisty Cat has just done another Gorilla Music Appreciation class.
Well, I sign up for this.
Right? This is true.
But yes. There's a reason she's my concert wife.
Yes.
We enable each other.
Totally.
Totes.
So I have a thing for genius. Like, there is obviously nothing sexier than genius. And, like, watching them play was like watching a bunch of really brilliant fucking theoretical mathematicians sit around and talk mathematical theory.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck with, like, formulae and mm-hmm. stuff.
And, like, and they were having conversations yes. with their instruments.
Yes.
And it was so, it was just so breathtaking to watch them communicate and talk to each other through their instruments. Yes.
And they're not moving around the stage and really interacting with each other that much. A little bit here and there. But they're each in their own little pod.
But they're still having a whole collective conversation.
They're talking yeah. just everywhere yeah. around.
Because they can't go far from all their, you know, 17 footwear.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fancy footwear.
This is... Maybe not this band, but this is what I'm used to from a live show where people get noodly and have conversations with their instruments. Yeah. And so modern day musicians are very disappointing to me on that level because there's no jam anymore. And jams are so important. Like, that tells me a lot about a musician if mm-hmm. they can jam with their bandmates and just fuck around. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what they were doing there, yes, they were playing songs, but they were fucking around. They mm-hmm. were just having fun. They were going, what can I make my instrument do now? Yeah. And that joy. It's like, who was it? The drummer for Gemini Syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's that level of joy of the instrument. I need more of that in my life.
It's why I used to go to blues festivals.
Sure.
Because there's a lot yeah. of that in the blues.
Sure. And they noodle and mm-hmm. they jam. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's my love of seeing Big Bad Voodoo Daddy live. 2+ hours of nonstop music. Something is riffing every second.
Yeah. And one person starts something, and then another person, after a few bars, comes in. And then they split off and they take over, and then a third person comes in, and then it goes back and forth, and it's a really interesting round robin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like, prog rock does this very interesting form of everybody solo.
That is actually still together.
Yes. Yep.
Everybody else does it, and it's just a clusterfuck.
It's a train wreck. Here, each person is telling their part of the same story. Yeah. And they get to highlight, like, this is your chapter in the story.
But, like, they'll be all doing that at the same time, and it still works.
Yeah. I fell down a brief jazz hole last night on YouTube. Just randomly, because I was killing time.
Right.
I watched Thelonious Monk and his quartet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was that, exactly. Yeah. And I watched some, they must have been Italian, some Italian trio doing Vince Guaraldi tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, God. There's a reason that Linus and Lucy was played at my wedding. That fucking piece of music is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I love Vince Guaraldi.
So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, welcome to season 5. This
season
is episode 1 of season 5.
Well, all right then.
Woo! Yay! You have won nothing other than getting to hear us talk about this amazing concert! All right.
Which apparently was streamed on the internet, which means there's probably going to be a recording of it somewhere.
Which means you all should go find it.
Yeah. Post-haste.
Yeah.
Post-haste.
Yeah. All two of you.
I think we have at least 3 listeners.
Okay. All 3.
Remember, I think we picked up another one at...
Oh, that's right. We said
hello. Sabaton.
Yeah.
Yeah. The woman over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. I didn't meet her. So
I
it wasn't
heard
my
it
job.
Down somewhere.
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay,
so I've been Twisted Cat.
I'm Batman.
I'm Patch.
I'm Snarkin.
Get in the van! We're doing podcast stuff!